It's 13 to 6. Stephen Mayne and I are chatting on amiably about things, but perhaps we should turn the microphones on and do that on the radio. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Lindy. How are you?
I'm very well. This is a question that I've been talking about earlier this afternoon, a question without notice for you. The bizarrest place, the most unusual place you've ever spent Christmas. Have you ever been somewhere overseas or somewhere in Australia and you thought, this is a fairly unusual place? I haven't actually worded you up on this.
No, I did hear you chatting earlier and I remember thinking, God, I'm boring. Listening to Tony Wheeler's Burmese. I mean, I've been to Burma. My parents met in Burma, but I never got to spend Christmas in Burma.
That's appalling, isn't it? I think that would have taken you back.
Yeah. No, I've had probably 15 Christmases in Maroochydore.
Okay.
On the Sunshine Coast.
There's nothing wrong with that, love.
A family holiday.
Of course.
And then the rest is just
little bits and pieces.
With my parents. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, you do.
It's a nice family occasion and we're either on a family holiday or with our family down there.
Because often it's, I mean, people, stories today have been amazing because often it's about something that over which they have no control, like a plane's broken down or they've found themselves stuck on a boat or they're travelling somewhere in their cars. And, you know, it's that kind of story. Or they were at Cyclone Tracy in 1970. 74. So it's sometimes it's just out of your control, Stephen. So you're obviously a controlling fellow.
I am very dull. So I'll work on it though. Where about this year? Back in the suburbs of Melbourne. Very exciting.
Now you've been looking at the Howard Ministry.
Yes, the Howard Ministry. Just this whole question about can Labor be trusted with money? And then the question also of what will happen to departing Howard government ministers, like can they make it in the corporate world? Can Peter Costello make it in the corporate world? And I have to say I've been surprised looking at the figures because of all the former Howard government ministers who are already out there, and there's seven of them that are currently on public company boards.
Yes.
The overwhelming majority have done badly. So the share prices have done badly. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Larry Anthony was the children's minister. He joined the board of ABC Learning, the big childcare company. And since he joined the board, they've gone from $5.60 to $5.27. And Larry Anthony's also on the board of Macquarie Media, and they floated at $4.80, and now they're $4.20. And if you go through, the other ones like Jim Short, the former finance minister, he's on the board of a company called IATIA, which floated at 20 cents, and now it's 6.7 cents. So I'm saying, well, I'm not getting much joy there.
From an ex-finance minister.
That's right.
So disturbing.
Michael Wooldridge is on four public companies, and pretty much all of them are underwater on what he got on at. And the biggest one is Australian Pharmaceutical Industries. When he joined the board in February 2006, they were $2.90. Now they're $1.80. So I'm sort of looking around. There's a few exceptions. Like Ian McLaughlin's done well on Clean Seas tuna. They're up from 50 cents to $1.80. And Tim Fisher's done well on our biggest cattle company, Australian Agricultural Group. They're up more than 30% since he joined. But the trend continues when you look at the state level, because Alan Stockdale, my old boss, I still think he was the greatest state treasurer in the history of Australia. But I'll tell you, having bought Sonetta's shares, they're a food group, at 60 cents when he joined the board and became chairman last year, I'm very disappointed they're now 8.7 cents.
Surely it's not all their fault. They're on the board by themselves.
Well, but they are, but you'd think you'd pick something that would fly if you were
the
treasurer who saved Victoria. I mean, another one is Cymex Holdings, which makes soap, which Stockers is the chairman of, and started at 60 cents when he joined, went to $2, now back to 55. So there's no one who's done a Wayne Goss. My message here. Because Wayne Goss is the chairman of a company called Osenko, which is a Queensland-based engineering company. Now, he joined in March 2003. They floated last year at a dollar. Now they're $15.
Ooh.
So he has turned this company into a $1.3 billion company, and he was the man who found Kevin Rudd.
Yes, it's true.
He was the one who, hired him as opposition leader's chief of staff and had him for 4 years running his cabinet office. And Rudd did deliver surpluses in Queensland with Goss. And Goss has a terrific record in the private sector. And, they're not all the Labor guys are great. John Dawkins, the former federal treasurer, floated a Perth law firm called Integrated Legal about 6 months ago at 50 cents. Now they're 18 cents. So I'm not suggesting your listeners just see a Labor politician on a board and bite in. But my message is that
it's not all bad.
The majority of the Conservative ministers from the Howard years have not added any value to the boards that they sit on.
See, I'm astonished that the ALP didn't use that during the election campaign. They should have read more, talked more with you, Stephen. Of course, they couldn't because you were running at the time.
That's right, missed the 2%.
Yes, let's not talk about that anymore.
No.
Just how often does that happen, that former ministers, even those who've had nothing to do with business or finance or treasury or whatever, find themselves on boards? And is that headhunting or do they go searching there for that themselves?
Well, I don't think it happens enough. Like in the UK and the US, there's a much greater interrelationship between corporate boards and politics and cross-pollinisation. I think there should be a lot more of it. Like, the only one who's made it is Nick Reiner. Reiner is still on the board of Stockland, which is, you know, a $13 billion company. He was on the board of QBE. He was deputy chairman of Coles.
But didn't he have a corporate life before he became a politician?
Yeah, he had a corporate career, but not a, you know, absolute standard career. He made his name as the business-friendly Premier of New South Wales. And poor old Jeff and Stockers, I mean, they did far more reforms to Victoria than Reiner did, but Jeff was sort of faffing around in little two-bob, you know, dot-com companies a few years ago, and National Telecom Group and Data and Commerce Limited and Softcom, all these companies that all went nowhere and never landed a big blue-chip board. And I really hope that doesn't happen to Peter Costello, because with all his experience, he does deserve to be on the board of a BHP.
Have you heard anything? What's going on?
No, he's just sitting there waiting to land his jobs and
offers?
Get the right person into his seat. Which is sort of
interesting. Any calls in that regard?
No, sadly not. I'm not running in the by-election, I can tell you. But I do hope he cracks something. And it's interesting to see what John Howard does, because, I mean, of the two Labor Prime Ministers, Bob Hawke only ever joined one public company board, which was Joe Gutnick's little China play called Quantum Resources, which, again, went nowhere. And he didn't really add any value there. And Paul Keating's on a little research company called the Brain Resource Company, which does research into the brain, which is a tiny company, it's got nowhere. And
financially, maybe it's doing really good work.
Look, I think, it's like Michael Waldridge. He's on all these tech health research companies, which their share prices are going down, but they're doing, you know, research into diabetes and other things like that, which was his expertise as a doctor who was then the health minister. So, I mean, good on him at that level for actually putting his name forward. But, you know, in the cold, brutal light of capitalism, you have to judge them on their share price performance.
Yes, but when the Stephen Mayne judgment hammer comes down, it's just not up to scratch. Just going back to this idea of, you know, politicians and the corporate world mixing and doing happy families together, is there a potential problem in some way if you leverage your access to the government of the day to benefit the company that you're on the board of?
Well, I think there's a major problem with that. Like, I'd love to see Kevin Rudd, when his code of conduct for his ministers finally does come out, and we're still yet to see it, I think he should have things like a two-year calling off period. If you leave the ministry or leave parliament, you can't then go on to another board of a relevant industry. Like what Larry Anthony did was a shocker. You know, he was handing out $1 million a day as the children's minister to ABC Learning, Australia's most subsidised company, and 6 months later he's on the board. I mean, I just think that looks bad.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that Kevin Rudd will manage that well. And it's going to be very tricky how he handles his own financial situation.
Oh, I'll say, in his own family situation.
He's got a $2 million share portfolio, Transurban, PBL, big banks, CSL. And I would have thought that if he's going to be setting the bar higher, the family's going to have to liquidate all of that, just like they've had to sell off their whole Australian business, which has been pretty messy in terms of how they've been able to do it. Like, they've had to close 16 offices in one of their divisions, a business called Yes. And Kevin Rudd's comments on the 7:30 report the other night about it's been very difficult for Therese. I mean, I bet it has.
I bet it has too. But it's not over.
No, they're still literally trying to sell one business sale settled, I think, yesterday. So they're rapidly trying to just sell the lot before, I think, this code of conduct comes out. And I think a whole bunch of ministers are also liquidating share portfolios, etc., because the code, when it comes out, is going to be pretty tough.
And do you think that people are going to accept that? I mean, in terms of the general public, they'll see that code, and any breach of that will be viewed as being pretty severe?
Well, I think that, you know, they want the governance cleaned up. I think that's one of the big, you know, no more lies.
So they have to show that
themselves. Right. They've got to set the bar really high. John Faulkner is, I love John Faulkner. He's the great accountability guru, and he's Special Minister of State and Cabinet Secretary. So I think he's going to really set the standards in terms of increased disclosure, less conflicts of interest, and better standards overall. And we're just all waiting to see it, because it was promised before the election. And, like, where is it, Kevin? Come on.
Where is it, Kevin, indeed? Well, he's doing it day by day.
Yeah.
And, Stephen, thank you so
very
much.
Mindy.